So we are going to go ahead and call this meeting of the legislative budget hearings to order. Kat, could you please call the roll?
Ammons. Anderson.
Here.
Beckett.
Here.
Benzel.
Here.
Betts.
Here.
Carter. Cowart. Dennis.
Hello.
Gladney.
Present.
James.
Here.
Jay.
Here.
Jones.
Here.
Knott.
Yep.
Kurtz.
Here.
Langenheim.
Here.
McGinty.
Here.
Michael.
Here.
Mosier. Nudo.
Here.
O'Connor. Richards. Rosales. Sapp. Schrader. Smucker. Weibel. Wysocki.
Was that enough, Kat? Okay, that is a quorum. So if you didn't...
Just a point of order. If somebody, I saw that Mr. Kurtz left the room. If somebody leaves the room, then you have the failure of a quorum. Right now we have 14. If somebody leaves the room, then we have to stop the meeting. Right. If one more person leaves the room, we have to stop the meeting until more people come.
So please stay.
There's only 13 in here, isn't there?
I hope your ability to count is better than ours. Staying away from it. We had them, and then they left.
Isn't that what I said?
You were right.
So let's start one. All right. With Mr. Kurtz being back, we're good, I hope. All right, don't leave. We're all going to get in here.
Here comes another. We're set.
Okay.
I've been here.
You have to be in the room for it to count. Approval of the agenda and addendum is our motion.
Move to approve the agenda.
Motion by Steve, seconded by Ralph. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. If you didn't see the article in the Gazette about the nursing home, it's a very good one, and they are here to present first.
Thanks, Brendan. I'm Mike Scavato. This is Andrew Buffenbarger with me. We're here to talk a little budget with you. And on behalf of the Nursing Home Board of Directors, I would want to thank you for the opportunity to appear before you and tell you about 2011. I'll go through the slides and leave time for questions and answers at the end of my presentation, but I thought I'd try to get things off to a good start. And this represents what we think is going to be the culmination of 2 years. And we started out down here with about a loss of about $1.8 million, and we expect to close this fiscal year around $300,000, which is roughly a swing of over $2 million, which I would submit to you is pretty good. And so if we can turn that applause meter up, I would appreciate it. Thank you, Alan, but thank Andrew. It represents a very concerted effort on behalf of a lot of people at the nursing home. As we go through tonight's presentation, and I will keep emphasizing that there are several unknowns that are difficult to budget for. The most important of that is census. Census remains very tenuous, but it is the single biggest factor in our profitability. And I'll keep talking about profitability tonight, but profitability is one thing. Having the cash is another story. And while we have returned to profitability, we don't have the cash yet. We'll get into that a little bit later. We're picking up every indication that government reimbursements, particularly Medicaid and Medicare, will be frozen. And if they're not frozen, they'll be much more difficult to qualify for in 2011. An issue that's become near and dear to my heart is the intergovernmental transfer. It's still unresolved over a year, and that's had a devastating impact on our cash flow. We're working diligently to get that resolved. We can't do it ourselves. We're trying to get some more political muscle behind us. We'll talk more about that as we move forward with the presentation. I think the theme that I want to develop tonight is the fact that we want to move beyond profitability and develop our capability as a better healthcare organization. The Nursing Home Board of Directors has been just brutal with that, and they're not going to stop at their right to do it. And it's one thing to make a profit, it's another thing to be proud of your organization. And we've made big strides. We've got more to do to improve our culture and get our pride factor up a little bit more. Change has been very difficult for some at the nursing home, but the results over the past 2 years, like you see on this slide, show that the vast majority of the people are pitching in and they're pulling together. The numbers we use in the financial system are just a means of the measurement, and they reflect the behavior of the people. I've long felt that if we want better numbers, we change the way the people behave, we change the way they approach their work. So that's why we're emphasizing more organization building things like systems and training, and you see that right in here. Now, we've had a couple of cash calls in this past year for increase in IMRF funding, and we had a capital project we had to do for a smoke barrier, which was in the six-figure range, and we were able to cope with those unexpected cash drains, and we'll have more of that in the future. The challenges that you see before us are on the screen. The biggest one that I have is with the nursing home's cash position. In my role as your turnaround manager, I equate cash with flexibility. And if you don't have cash, you have to live with restrictions. And if we can get some cash, we can start to do a better job of charting our own future. I'd like nothing better than to see you in the position of building up some cash reserves that give you quite a bit of comfort. And I think we can do that. But right now, we're going into this year with obligations still outstripping our cash flow, and that is a major factor. For 2011, you can see the budget parameters on the screen in front of you. There's nothing radical about them, and what we are doing is providing a prudent assessment of what we think you're going to face in the year ahead. Again, this is a big one here. Government reimbursement is frozen. Between Medicaid and Medicare, you're at roughly 65% of your reimbursement, and if that's at zero increase or slight, that outstrips general inflation down here at this level. We are talking about raising rates about 3% for the private pay crowd, and that is market competitive. I mentioned earlier we're dependent upon census and upon the payer mix. Regardless of how well we're planned for the budget, something's going to go wrong. Something's going to change during the course of the year. This year is a case in point. We were making great strides in reducing our dependency on contract agency staffing, and lately we've been hurt by turnover, which has forced us into greater agency usage. Fortunately, we've had the higher census, and I might point out the last several months we have had higher census, but it's only in July that we exceeded our target of 195. So we had months where our census was well below 195 in the 180s, and it's taken several months of higher census just to get to that 195. Census can hurt us very quickly. Nonetheless, keep in mind that chart. profitability-wise, we will end 2010 in a much better position than we were in 2009. For the nursing home to progress, we're talking about much greater emphasis on customer service, and you can see up here more systems issues with staff training and supervision and communication. The H up there, HR on the screen refers to human resources skills, and if we continue to hit the numbers, we can pour more resources into these organization building factors. Now, if you were here last year for our presentation, this is essentially a rerun. Total volume gets translated, just divide it by 365, and our average daily census is 195. Because you have 243 beds, that's an occupancy of about 80%. And you can see the mix that we're dealing with here. That's wrong. That's 15. That's a typo. It's 15. And we'll move that slide along quickly. Medicaid still continues to be our biggest census factor. You'll see later that this is about 15% of our census, and it generates almost 30% of our revenues. And Medicare is very important to us. The dementia service is the biggest challenge on this slide. It runs close to capacity. We know that there's more need for dementia in the community. And we're right now in the process of reshaping our dementia service. We have a new manager. We're rebuilding that program around here. She's a long-term Champaign County nursing home employee. She's going to do a great job. She's been trained at the Rush program in Chicago, and I think she's going to make a big difference in how we take care of our residents. But go back to my opening remarks about needing cash. And we know we have a big need here for dementia. We can't touch it unless we get more cash to help us figure out how to deal with the physical plant. Operating revenues for 2011 are summarized on this slide here. Now, before I move to the next one, I'm just going to point out that Medicare, about $4 million. Medicaid, $4.8 million, roughly $5 million. Private pay, $4.5 million. You'll see this going forward. This is a pretty good balance of our revenues, and we'll talk about this more in terms of percent later on. The take-home point on this one is that fully 93% of your revenues come from patient services. Property tax is a big number, and I'd like to get to the point where we can function without property tax. But we are doing better in that we're getting much more of our revenue from patient services. I am hopeful, but don't hold me to this. It looks like August of this year could be a record for Champaign County revenue performance. That's an estimate. It's preliminary, and I don't know what the expenses are. So it's not profit, but that's just revenue. Here's an example of what I'm talking about with balance, right in here. Pretty good balance, 30% Medicare, 34% Medicaid, 31% private. That's a much better mix.
Is that your goal, to have that sort of balance?
That's a good balance. I'd like to see Medicare stronger. And the dilemma with Medicare is that every skilled facility has the same strategy. So we're all going after the same pie. And Medicare is also the biggest payer, but we also think that Medicare is going to start to pay less and less and less. So we're going to have to rethink that. You've gotten the message that I'm hung up on revenues. This is why. And the big deal here is the intergovernmental transfer on this slide, or the lack of it. We've had some success in figuring out why the state has not moved forward on the intergovernmental transfer. the feds are intimately involved in this transaction. And for some reason, it's been a year since we've been able to get any resolution to this. So we're talking a lot of money here, right there. About $628,000 is the impact on our cash flow. And as I'm speaking to you now, I know that there's about $1.8 million in accounts payable out there. That's, you know, we're making a little bit of progress on that, but we can't get at it unless we can start to bring some of this money to the bottom line. Now, just last week, we got good news that the state does believe that it's a priority. We've got some of the larger counties through the Metro Counties Alliance weighing in, DuPage and Lake, Peoria, Winnebago, Rock Island, DeKalb, you guys for sure. They all have a lot to lose with this transaction. So the more we can speed it up and the more political influence we can bring to bear on this process, the better it's going to be, because there's over 600,000 in cash out there in a year. Now that's for 2011. And we also have probably about the same amount out there for 2010. Now that's real cash. And if without that cash, it really tightens us up and we don't have the flexibility that I'd like to see us. Property taxes in the budget are yes.
Before you move to that one, if I can ask.
And okay.
So we know we have quite a bit of revenue outstanding.
Oh yeah.
How far behind are we on our accounts payable right now?
You have any idea? It's about 1.8 million, but there's a significant number of that that's over 90 days. And I want to say, I'm going to estimate that the amount over 90 days is approaching $1 million. May not be that, but it's, you know, when I looked at it, the last time I looked at it, we're talking a big number. Okay, so you take a look at that slide. Go ahead.
We still have, we have 09, 10 bills that we are behind on, and then, of course, we're in moving quickly towards the 10, 11.
Yeah, we've probably got, you know, I'd be surprised if there's any 09 that are unpaid. You know, we might have some, you know, we certainly have some from 10 that aren't paid. We're still in 10, but 09 should be cleared up. Okay. Yes, ma'am.
So, on part of your report, it says accounts payable remain over $2 million. So you're saying that of that $2 million that you are over in your AP, that $1 million of it is 90 days or better?
Could be. Yes, it's a big number. Yeah.
Wow.
That's what happens when we don't have cash. You struggle to make payroll. We've had several months when it's like in any organization like this, when you pay every other week, you've got 26 payrolls. Just by definition, you're going to have 2 months where you have 3 payrolls. And that puts a cramp on your cash. And that situation has improved a little bit since we've been here, but without the IGT, we can't make the big gain. And that's one of the things that we're working on. It's not necessarily a factor in your review of the budget. It's just something I want you to be aware of because it does affect cash. Okay, moving on. We're talking about property taxes. We may need another dose of tax anticipation warrants as we get closer to the end of the year. In any healthcare organization, labor and benefits are going to be your biggest expense. That's no different here. The rest of the stuff you can see in front of you, and it's amazing how quickly this stuff falls off. In case any of you are interested, the big ticket item here under professional services is the therapy vendor on the Medicare program, and that number is probably $550,000 in the budget.
Can I ask you about the therapy service?
Therapy companies. Did we actually do that?
Oh yeah, yeah. This is This is the new one, Alliance Rehab. Okay. On the non-labor costs, the thing that I would point out is at the bottom here. We are including in the budget principal and interest on the construction loan. So we've gone from interest to include principal. No surprises there. We are going with the higher, I think you call it the full funding rate for IMRF. We're hopeful that we're going to get by with a 10% increase on health insurance. Every chance we get, we're looking to improve our productivity. Unscheduled absences are down. Productivity should be up. These operating issues really represent a strategic lay of the land. What we'd like to do more than anything else is develop some reserves for you. We know, even though it's a new building, you're going to have some capital expenditures in the next couple of years. We're not able to put money aside from that. We know that the regulatory environment is intensifying. We've had that experience this year. And we know that this is a bad position to be in. Again, the mantra here is we've got to build our cash position.
Mike?
Yes.
You mentioned capital expenditures likely next few years. Could you...
In the next couple of years.
Like, can you some detail possibilities?
Well,
obviously you must have some reason to put that statement there, so what are those reasons?
That's a good one. Electric beds. They have to replace some electric beds. This last year we got stuck with the smoke barrier, which was more of a regulatory fiat than anything else, and we're always exposed to that. Are there any systems that we're thinking about?
Equipment?
So, no, if we said we're going to have to fix the roof, no. I don't think there's anything big like that. But if something breaks, you're going to have the cash to fund
that. So some of this is sort of like in case of emergency.
Yeah, it's contingent. Yes, exactly. And someone comes along and says, you have to configure your kitchen in a different way, and it's a regulatory agency, we need the cash to do that. Those things have been known to happen. They shouldn't. A dish machine might break. It's anything. You need the cash for operating flexibility. And
I'd like to, on the same line, we approaching $2 million in payables. What is the plan to realistically? There is no projection that I see here that says where we will be able to get actual money from if we are not able to pay the $2 million that we have outstanding. So I'm wondering what the strategy is to reverse this trend.
The only strategy that makes sense for me is to get that intergovernmental transfer transaction finished. We could sit here and say it would be nice to get your census up to 210. There's no indication that we can get that. And that would be what I would think would be a false projection for me to make to you. If we got the intergovernmental transfer resolved and we were to get $628,000 in for 2011, and we would also pick up probably an equivalent amount for 2009, we've got our cash flow coming back. Well, that's about the only thing that makes sense at this point.
Would that be earmarked then for that outstanding payables?
Well, it would have to be. Yeah. You have to make a dent in payables. At the same time, you have to put some money aside for reserves. You know, so it would probably be a combination of the two. But that payables balance is not a good thing to have happen to you. I couldn't agree with you more on that.
We understand the state is like really. I'm surprised we're all still in the state. Where the money issue's going, is there any reality in the state paying out what's due? I know we're not the only county that's struggling with this issue. Is there a rainbow?
Is it a rainbow?
6 months from now, maybe.
No. Listen, I'm glad you're asking that question. Is there a rainbow with the state? Illinois, out of the 50 states, Illinois ranks 50th in what it pays for Medicaid? I mean, no. There's no rainbow.
Yeah, that was one of those really...
you knew the answer to that before you asked
it. That was one of those questions. So the real question is, how long can we hold on?
Well, you're doing okay now. The problem, as a matter of fact, you're doing much better this year than you were last year. You know, there's no question about it. You're doing a whole lot better. But you've got to recognize that source of cash is with the feds and the state. We got to get them to the table to finish the deal. And if we could get that done, I think we will. You should see the cash flow coming in to make a considerable dent in that payables balance, and that can help you as well provide for reserves, and you know, you can then become a much more solid organization. You can't do it without cash, but right now, projecting for 2011, yeah, we're going to get by. We'll make a little bit of money. We'll handle our obligations, but without some help, the payables balance is going to be a problem. It's not coming down. Yes, sir.
Follow up on capital expenditures. I've gone over there a few times to walk through there and visit some folks from our board that's been in there. That's been a concern from day one, I think. And if there's any way, I know based on what we're hearing tonight, but I know that we have looked at like the old county jail, and we hear, you know, it's 25, 30 years old, and how much money it's going to take to upgrade it to where it needs to be, and this is a 24/7 operation, and I've been in there, and, you know, the walls are going to start needing painting, there's stains in the rooms that need done, floor tile, I mean, I can just go on, and all those things cost labor and or materials, and I know Deb's been working on it quite a bit, and I'm glad to see it, but we really need to start setting, and like a roof, I mean, if we don't start setting money aside soon, as that roof approaches 15 years, we're going to need some money.
That is true. That's the whole point.
And we've been in operation now, what, 3-4 years?
Yes. How long? When did you move in? Three?
February
07. February 07.
So when I walk through there, I see all them things, and then, you know, I'm one that... A new building, and I said it from the get-go, that's fine and dandy, but you have to have something in place to keep it up and maintain it as it needs to be. And then my other complaint about the deal was when we did the retrofit on all the heating and ventilation things, we took up some rooms, and there was some concern there because of what we thought we were going to need for the clientele. And now I'm hearing that, you know, all the projections we were given when this was being built have not come about. I mean, we were projected we needed 200 and some rooms. And oh yeah, we'd have them full, and might even in the future need more. And it's, you know, it's funny how things turn around, because every time I sit in a meeting, we're all told the things, and if someone voices a question that might seem somewhat negative at the time, it's like nobody really wants to address it. But those are issues, and that's one thing I say here, that some of them do bring that up. But I'm very concerned with capital expenditures, because as time goes on, I'm strongly worried about that heating and ventilation system. The way it runs, what's going to happen?
Yeah, I think it should be, but I just want to go back prior to one of the things you brought up, and he's talking about dings in the walls, and that's something that could qualify as a capital expenditure. When you walk around over there, it's drywall, and they get bashed in any healthcare facility, and you're going to end up replacing those walls with very thick vinyl, and that's basically like the frame oil filter. Pay me now or pay me later. And we're going to end up paying later for it. So there was another hand up. Alan, did you have a hand up? No.
Yeah, a couple of thoughts that you brought up in our board meeting, and I'd like you to talk to the board about this. And, you know, the the new Medicare admissions higher. I'm looking to try and improve not only revenue but payer mix, because we all know that the private pay and the Medicare allows us to afford a higher number of Medicaid to come into the thing. And that has been, in my mind, your secret to turning this thing around, is that you've changed the payer mix to a great degree.
We have. We have done well.
The census, obviously, is a big thing. But could you talk about the new Medicare admissions person?
Want to do that?
Yeah, we have a new admissions director. She's been there for a couple of months, and she's done a great job building census. She goes out to the hospitals every day. She's distributing advertisements. She's developed some brochures. She's working with the adult daycare. Their census is improving. She's been a great addition. Her name is Lauren.
We are running quickly out of time for this particular session, so if we could try to wrap soon, I think Greg's got a question.
I'll motion that the report be received and placed on file.
Right. Motion by Greg and seconded by Steve on that particular motion. Is there any discussion on it? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries. Now, is there a way to wrap fairly quickly with anything else?
Right there. That sums up what everybody was talking about. But I don't want you to go away. Well, in a way, I do want you to be anxious. But let's also recognize that we're going to close our second full fiscal year with a gain of over $2 million from where we started. That's good progress, folks. And we can keep this going. It's a team effort. And, yeah, there's some holes in the recipe. We'll do our best to fill them. But I want you to be proud of your nursing home, and I think we're starting to bring that back. I hope we are.
Anything else for these gentlemen? All right, Mike, Andrew, thank you very much.
Thanks
very
much.
Next up is General Corporate Public Safety Sales Tax, GIS, Capital Equipment, and Other Related Funds, all known by Deb.
You each have a notebook at your desk which has these budgets in it, and inside the notebook is a copy of this PowerPoint presentation which we're going to go through. This is the General Corporate Fund Fiscal 2011 budget, as established by the budget process resolution which you adopted this year. We are to present you with a balanced budget, and you also directed that because of the continuing decline in revenues, that 4% cuts should be implemented to General Corporate Fund department budgets as they prepared them for fiscal 2011. This is an overview of revenue and expenditure for what was actual for 2009, our original budget for 10, our current anticipated budget for 10, the change from 2009 to the current 10 budget, the fiscal 11 budget, and the change from fiscal 10 original to fiscal 11. You'll see that in 2009, we show expenditure and revenue. Revenue was $32.2 million. Expenditure was $32.7 million. I would like to point out to you that the award from Farnsworth of $1 million is included in this revenue amount and this expenditure amount. It was booked by the auditor as revenue to the general fund and then booked as an expenditure to forgive the $1 million outstanding loan from the nursing home. So when I look at our budget for 09, I consider the true revenue and expenditure to really be $31.2 million and $31.7 million. And the shortfall that we experienced in 09 was about $500,000, and $405,000 of that was the fact that we did not receive income tax revenue in the last 2 months of the year, which had never happened before, which is part of the reason that our projected budget ended up being overstated and what we actually received in revenue was less. So the original budget beginning of 10 was at 31.4, which was the original 09 budget had been 33.8, so it was a substantial change when we prepared the 10 budget. Right now we anticipate receiving $30.2 million in revenue and spending $30.1 million. That's the change from the 2009 actual to what we expect for 2010. And the current budget for 2011 that we're going to go through here is balanced at $30,920,984, which is a net decrease of $533,000 over the original 10 budget. This is just a look at that same picture, just so you can see, though, the dramatic decrease that we are dealing with in the general corporate fund in terms of total dollars that we have to spend. So here's an overview. These are the primary sources of revenue. The three largest revenue sources are property taxes, state shared revenues, and fees. Property taxes are going up, but at a much slower pace than they had been in the 5 to 7 years preceding 2009. You can see that the state shared revenues were actual at 11.53 in 2009, and we projected them 11.54, but have since dropped that projection by about $500,000 for 2010. And we are showing some rebound in them in 2011, coming in 11.4. In 2008, those revenues were $12.7 million, just so you know the difference that we've suffered over the last couple years. Fees are fairly stable. They were slightly overstated at the beginning of 2010. We've adjusted them back down so that the 2011 budget is just slightly more than what we actually received in 2009. Interfund revenue, you see an increase since 2009, and that is as we have cut general corporate budgets, departments who have special revenue funds are optimizing the use of those special revenue funds to offset the need to make cuts in general corporate, so transfers come into general corporate from those funds. Licenses and permits are pretty stable. Miscellaneous is fairly stable. That big hit in 2009, again, is $1 million of that revenue from the settlement from Farnsworth. So it was actually 1.94. It's fairly stable in about the 1.4 range. And then grants and local shared revenue. Local shared revenue is declining, partly due to the fact that we have reached the 10th year of the fringe development agreement for properties annexed by the city of Urbana, so we will be writing off that sales tax revenue over the next couple of years as that 10 years comes to an end. So the total revenue changes for 2011 budget, property tax is up only $14,467, state grants are down, fees are down by $336,338, about $200,000 of that is in real estate transactional fees, the balance of it is in circuit clerk fees. Interfund revenue is down, but still above where it had been in 2009. Intergovernmental revenue is down, and state shared revenue is down. Miscellaneous is up, and that is primarily the entire increase is attributable to an increase in penalties on property taxes. So that's up by about $150,000 in 2011. This is just a look at the 2011 revenue, and again, you can see state shared revenues are a significant portion of the total, 37%, property taxes 26%, and fees 16%. I wanted to just give you more of an overview with regard to the state shared revenues, because that is why we've been cutting budgets for the last 2 years. This gives you 2008, and these are the five core revenues. There are others, but these are the five primary ones, which are the use tax, income tax, the quarter cent sales tax, the 1 cent sales tax, and the corporate personal property replacement tax. You can see there is a drastic reduction from 2008 to 2009 in both the quarter cent sales tax and the income tax. This is a look at those same state shared revenues over a 10-year period. And you can see that we suffered a loss in these before, after 2001. But going from 2000 to the low point at 2003, the total loss was at about $700,000. Going from 2008 to 2009, we lost $1.5 million. That is significant. And they are rebounding slowly. We are projecting some growth in some of these for next year. These are those same revenues, looking at them as they individually performed over that 10-year period. And you can see we reached an all-time high in 08, and everything fell in 09. The state shared revenue changes in the 2011 budget. We're projecting corporate personal property replacement tax at a 6.7% increase, which is $54,000. That is based on information posted by the Department of Revenue of what we will receive from the state. So that's why it's in the budget, because that's what they've posted. The 1 cent sales tax, 8% decline over the 2010 original. Quarter cent, it's a 1% increase over the original for this year. The use tax down 9%, inheritance tax 0%. There is still some uncertainty about that. State reimbursement is up 29.5% over where it was at the beginning of fiscal 2010. But that is still $500,000 less than that reimbursement was in 2009. Okay. State salary reimbursement, this is the one where the Department of Revenue sent us a letter and said, we're only going to pay you 40% of what we're obligated under the statutes to pay you next year. So that's a 60% reduction. That total is $183,111. Those are for reimbursements of specific salaries, state's attorney, public defender, supervisor of assessments, assistant state's attorneys. So you can see the state with that, they may have increased this one, but they decreased that one so much that it's, you know, we came out a little ahead. And income tax is still projected to be down 5.3%. I want to tell you that income tax is projected for 2011 right now, assuming we will receive 12 months of revenue. It is 20% less than what we actually received in 2008, which is the last year in which we received 12 months of revenue. But that's just a caveat I want you to be aware of. We have started receiving it every month, and the treasurer believes that will continue. That's why it's budgeted with 12 months of revenue. But both 2009 and 2010, we're projecting to only receive 10 months of revenue this year. So that's why it looks that way. Expenditure, as I'm sure none of you are surprised, our largest area of expenditure is in personnel. And you can see that going from 2009 to the 2011 proposed budget, we have taken off about $500,000 in total expenditures for personnel. The rest of our expenditures remain fairly stable. We have budgeted for 2011 what we spent in 2009, which means we can't spend more than we did that year and have to absorb any kinds of CPI increases on commodities that we would see. Services are actually budgeted less than what we actually spent in 2009 at $6.15 million. Capitals and transfers, again, that 2009 number has that $1 million in it. Those two remain fairly stable. This is a look at the 2011 expenditure budget as it is right now, in terms of the breakdown. And again, personnel is 73% of the total budget, which is substantial. When we asked all the general corporate fund departments to cut their budgets when they prepared them for 2011, this is the result. So this will tell you each department what they actually spent in 09, what their original 2010 budget was, and what their presented 2011 budget is. In areas where you don't see a full cut. For example, the auditor's office shows an increase. The auditor did not cut any expenses, and in fact, the auditor's salary goes up in 2011, so that's why the total office budget increases. However, in revenue, the auditor has committed to paying the county back out of his own personal paycheck the amount that is required for the cut for that office for fiscal 2011, which is about $12,000. So it is in revenue. It's not in expenditure. Public property is cut more than 4%, but that's because a good amount of the savings for that department comes from utilities costs, where we are going to see savings next year. The Board of Review, again, is another one where there is no cut in 2011 because the entire budget is effectively personnel. There are three individuals who you have appointed to serve terms, so we really can't cut them. At the beginning of last year, one of those positions was vacant and was held vacant for 4 months, which is why they spent less last year. They're all budgeted next year, so it's really not an increase. It looks like it because we had cut that 4 months of salary out of the beginning of the 2010 budget. The county clerk is down over 5%. The recorder as well, she cut the equivalent of 4% of her expenses after we subtracted out purchased document stamps because that is the majority of her budget, and she has no control over that expense. So she did make the cut that was requested of her for 4% of her non-purchased document stamps budget. Supervisor of Assessments has a required increase in publication costs next year, which offset what he did cut. He did make his cuts. And if we go down then to the public defender, they cut to the point where they said they could not cut any more, but they had some corresponding increases in public defender fees, which offset the need for the additional cut. The sheriff cut as much as he could. And out of his law enforcement budget just said that there was no more that he could do. He had cut a substantial amount in previous budgets. He also had to offset the fact that his law enforcement personnel budget for 2011 is bigger than it was for 2010 because that contract doesn't end until this November, and they received wage increases on their anniversaries in 2010 that are now in place permanently for into the future. So he had that to work against, too. So he cut $70,000. He actually cut more than that because he also cut the equivalent of those salary increases. In corrections, cut $223,000. State's attorney cut 3.6% and just said that was as far as she possibly could go. Both JDC and court services have changes in revenue. You saw that increase in the revenue for state reimbursements, which offsets their cuts in personnel. And then the remaining, the coroner, as like some of the other smaller departments, couldn't make all the cuts, so he was at 2.3%, and the remaining offices cut the required 4. So the total expenditure changes by category. Personnel is down $214,581, or almost 1%. Commodities are down $47,200, almost 3%. Services are down $191,904, 3%. Capital is up 1,267% because we didn't budget anything last year. But that $80,000 is for vehicles for the sheriff. He could not go a fourth year without having budget to replace some vehicles, so that $80,000 is reinstated in his budget to purchase squad cars. Transfers were cut by 35%, and that is a transfer from probation service fees that is no longer necessary because the state increased the state reimbursement, and debt is just down because our payment is less. So the total cut is $532,955 for a total net cut of about 1.7%. This is a summary of the staffing changes that resulted from the 4% cuts. We have effectively eliminated another 13.6 positions after eliminating 30 positions last year, and those changes saved $500,400. In many instances, there were reduction of hours for employees from full-time to 80% time, some higher-level positions being replaced with lower-level positions, not filling vacancies in some of the offices. basically summarizes what was done in all the departments in terms of staffing changes. The personnel changes. So we cut $500,000 in personnel salary costs, but at the same time we had some increases, those FOP contract increases that I mentioned a few minutes ago, and we also have elected official increases that had to be added. And at the current time, we are projecting the health insurance increase to be $244,875. So the total net change, even though we cut $500,000, we only end up with a net cut of $214,581. Non-personnel expenditure changes, numerous line item cuts and commodities for $47,200. The utilities costs are the primary cut in the services area. And those utilities costs for particularly gas and electric have been coming down, which is a reflection of the participation in the co-op that we're doing and some improvements that have been made in terms of the buildings. Sheriff's squad cars up $80,000 and transfers. The capital asset replacement is not being fully funded for next year, so that is a decrease of $161,503 that would normally go from general corporate to the capital asset replacement fund. So total revenue, $30,920,984, and expenditure matches. Revenue and expenditure cuts right at the $533,000 level based on the original 2010 budget. 2011 contingent expense. You adopted with the budget process a contingent policy which states the contingency appropriation goal is 1% of the total anticipated expenditure for the general corporate fund. Right now, the contingent appropriation in the 2011 budget is $218,730, which is 0.71%. I highly recommend that we leave that in contingent for the following reasons. We still have uncertainty regarding the state shared revenues. Our fund balance is significantly short of the 12.5% goal, and we do have a liability associated with three expiring labor contracts in November, four labor contracts with wage reopeners in December, and a pending arbitration with one labor contract. The fund balance, our fund balance goal for 2011 is $3,865,123, and our anticipated beginning fund balance will be $1,946,137, or 6.3%. Based on how it looks right now, that's an improvement, but it's only halfway to the fund balance goal. So we still need to work on rebuilding that fund balance so that we don't need to borrow for cash flow for the general corporate fund. Okay, let's talk about property taxes. We take property taxes and the estimated growth in the total EAV for 2010, this year, which is the property tax we receive next year, is 1.4%. And under the property tax extension limitation law, the CPI factor that we can apply is 2.7%. So I take that property tax extension limitation law calculation and apply it against the 2009 levies, and this is what we come up with, that each of the levies in the county's top aggregate would increase by 3.57% for total growth of $642,267. The mental health nursing home and the mental health and DD levies are based on a slightly different calculation because they abate differently in enterprise and TIF zones than the rest of the county's aggregate levy do. The problem is 91,000 wasn't enough growth for IMRF. So if you look at the next slide, this is the adjustments that were required to the property tax levies to make them work with the budget requirements. So the projected 2010 levy for General Corp was 7,946, but the adjusted levy is 7.7 million. The projected increase was 279,000, but the actual increase is only 31,782. And all of the balance of that growth is going to IMRF, which needs $504,000 in growth of the total 642,000 we have to balance its fiscal 2011 budget. So the same thing was done with Social Security. We didn't need any growth in Social Security because our wage base is coming down and Social Security is stable, so we were able to actually levy less for Social Security than we did last year. So the growth and $82,898 went to IMRF. With County Bridge and County Highway, it came to my attention during the budget preparation this year, don't know why it didn't before, but that County Highway has not been paying for Social Security and IMRF, and it is the only fund that hasn't been doing that. So Jeff and I worked out a plan where they will begin to do that, and part of the growth from Bridge is going to Highway. So you see Highway's ultimate growth is 4.18% and Bridge is 2.37%, so that they will begin paying their share of Social Security and IMRF. We plan to phase it in over 4 years, otherwise it would have been a $200,000 hit to Highway in 1 year, and that seemed like it would be too drastic. So we have a plan to phase it in, and that's why that change is reflected there. Liability insurance, or tort immunity, just gets the standard growth, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Extension education was required to make the 4% cut, just like all the other, you did this earlier in the year with all the discretionary funding, so their growth also went to IMRF. So we end up with the same amount of growth, it's just that IMRF is getting almost all of it. Brad?
Yeah, down here at the bottom of the page above that, showing the fiscal, the 09 rate, total county levy, the 09 rate was 0.7487, and then it says extended levy 0.7628. So historically our property tax rate has dropped with the increase in the EAV, but is it, this the first year we're seeing a higher rate, or did it go up last year? I don't remember last year.
Actually, the rate last year stayed fairly stable. This happens when the CPI is greater than the growth in the EAV. And this has happened before, but it was like 2002 or 2003.
I just thought historically you made a point that our rate had gone down.
Right, because the growth in the EAV has outpaced the CPI.
And this is the first year that hasn't happened recently?
Recently, yeah. Since probably 2002 or 2003. I don't remember which year it was, but yeah.
Thanks.
This is the resulting look at the 09 levy and rate and the 10 levy and rate, assuming that you all agree with those adjustments that we just went through on the previous slide. All right, tort immunity tax fund. And I will tell you, in all of the general corporate fund department budgets are in your book, and there is valuable information about the department operations and staffing and so on if you want to see it in the book. The second section of the book is the special revenue funds. Tort immunity tax fund is the first one listed there. It covers the cost of contributions to self-funded insurance for the general corporate fund share of workers' comp, automobile property and liability, and general liability based on actuarial analysis of those costs and for the annual insurance premiums for those costs. So this fund only pays for General Corp's share for self-funded insurance. Every other fund covers it out of the fund for their share of these costs for the self-funded insurance fund. The required contribution for General Corp then, or from the Tort Immunity Fund in 2011, is $1,337,000. The available revenue, because the revenue source is property tax under the property tax extension limitation law, is $1,118,682. The gap is $218,318. In 2007, there was no gap. The actuarials have been going up faster than the property tax, so we are now facing a gap, which puts tort immunity at an ending fund balance in the negative of $737,084. The plan for correction that I would recommend at this point is that this funding deficit and gap can be absorbed by the available balance in self-funded insurance fund at this point in time, and that next year, when hopefully we do not have to give priority to IMRF or Social Security, that priority is given to tort immunity to get that levy up to where it needs to be to match the required contributions for insurance and the actuarial claims costs. So with that, going into self-funded insurance fund, it actually pays for all the liability claims and insurance and so on. The required expenditure for 11 is anticipated to be $1,848,889, and the revenue is $1,913,500. So it is actually moving in the right direction. The ending fund balance at this point is projected to be $1,852,330. So even when it absorbs the deficit in the tort immunity fund, and they are in a combined fund, so they do operate together, the resulting fund balance is $1,115,246. The fund balance goal for self-funded at this point is $1.5 million. So on its own, it's exceeding the goal. Combined with tort immunity, it's slightly below the goal, but this is certainly something that we believe we can work with. The IMRF fund, this is just to give you a visual of what's happened by our decision to go to the fully funded IMRF rates. We do still project a fund balance at the end of 11 of about $1.2 million, and as I reported to you previously, the Treasurer is comfortable with a $1 million fund balance in our local IMRF fund, so we should be okay with that. Taking this 38% hit this year, going from 2009 to 2011, again, a secondary reason that now is a good time to do it is because our wages are down. It's certainly much easier to get to this required rate when our wages aren't also correspondingly increasing. The Capital Asset Replacement Fund, the fiscal 2011 required revenue to fully budget for the reserve is $510,381. The appropriated revenue right now, we appropriated revenue only for current expenditures in 2011, so it only has $267,805 going in. So there's a shortfall in this fund in terms of future reserves, and this is not for facilities. This is just for technology and equipment that we have historically slated to be paid for from this fund. The shortfall is $242,576. This is the fourth year in which revenue for future reserve is not being appropriated, and eventually that's going to catch up with us. I wanted you to see the fund balance. It was diminishing from 2006 to 2009. It went up in 2010 because we deposited a lease payment from ILEAS of $416,000 into this fund to appropriate it for roof and facility needs for that facility. But by the end of 2011, we will be down to a $784,000 fund balance, which is just about as low as it's been since we've started it. And at some point, that will become more problematic.
Can I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
With that balance in that fund, how would that building of the new building impact this capital asset fund?
The new building will not be associated with that fund at all. It will be a separate construction fund, and it would not be dealt with in this fund at this time. The Public Safety Sales Tax Fund, another special revenue fund that we pay close attention to. Again, we're being conservative with growth estimates, anticipating a 1% increase in 2011. Right now, we're on track for about a 2% increase in sales taxes for this year over last year. So I'm hopeful that projecting a 1% increase in those sales taxes is realistic. The 2011 budget for public safety continues to transfer an additional $500,000 to general corporate to offset facilities and maintenance expenses. This was initially implemented in 2008 and was never viewed to be permanent. and it is not currently anticipated to continue after 2011, so it's something to remember for General Corporate, that that $500,000 is revenue that's going to have to be replaced with other revenue. There's a long-term projection in your budget presentation manual that starts on page 139 that outlays how public safety looks moving forward. The good news is that for 2011, even with that appropriation, it is a revenue positive year for public safety sales tax, and it will end with a almost $7 million fund balance. Overall summary, the negatives, there's a continuing lack of certainty with regard to the state shared revenues. I would view the shortfalls in funding supporting the general corporate fund that are in other funds to be about $956,547, and that is the shortfall in tort immunity that we talked about, the annual shortfall of $218,318, the capital asset replacement fund annual shortfall in funding of $242,576, and I've added capital facilities improvement. We have documented that the cost for roof replacements over a 20-year amortized period and HVAC systems for four of our oldest buildings would require an annual contribution of $495,653. You could just call it $500,000 realistically. And this, in order to build a capital improvement plan for our facilities, we really need to be able to move in the direction of funding this through the capital asset replacement fund sometime in the near future. Additional negative is that $500,000 transfer going to general corporate, which is not sustainable in the future, and of course the fact that this budget freezes wages for the second year, freezes all wages for the second year. The positives are that except for tort immunity, the budgets are balanced for all funds. We have appropriated a contingent allowance in the general corporate fund, and we have brought IMROF to the fully funded rate for the future, so we are not building debt or additional liability in our IMROF by not paying the fully funded rate.
We have to be quick, but if there are questions for Deb at this point. That motion by Stan, seconded by Geraldo. It was Geraldo, too. I mean, I heard him, but I like to ignore him occasionally. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries. Anything else for Deb? Thank you very much. Questions for her can be emailed too, I'm sure. So, next up is the Champaign County Board of Health. Dr. Peterson is here, and John, you're up.
Oh, yeah.
John Peterson, treasurer of the Board of Health. Bobby Schultz is here off the side, is chair of the Board of Health, elected this term. Brendan asked me to be brief because you folks have a long meeting and you need to take a break, and I have no problem with that at all. He asked me very politely to be brief. Relatively easy to present this budget this year. We really went through most of the decision making last year. We are largely dependent upon the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District for services. And when we negotiate this budget, we are largely negotiating with the Public Health District. Our budget depends on really what we're able to agree to with them. We looked at an incremental budget. In other words, for the most part, we are doing what we did last time. And we are able to present a balanced budget to you with at the same time maintaining our carryover at slightly below what we wanted, but around 23% of our total operating budget, and that was a goal that we set last year in order to deal with contingencies. We've had several, and we anticipate that something out of the blue may happen. As you recall, it was a major issue in Rantoul with Lincoln's Challenge on a food poisoning case. We have been concerned about flu, which fortunately the CDC has at least at this point taken off the table. We are also looking at an increase in tuberculosis cases in Rantoul, where the migrant population has moved from Hoopston to Rantoul. Most of the tuberculosis that we see in this country is imported, except in the elderly, and that, you know, I'm not going to blame the old folks. It was the prevalence in the elderly is equal to the prevalence when they were kids. So we are concerned about those potential issues that may come forward that may cost us money that we don't have in the budget right now. When you take a look at the budget, you'll see a major decrease in the public health request to us, the Champaign-Urbana public health request. Now, that is due basically to grant funding. The public health district was one of the few in the country that achieved a very significant flu preparation budgetary grant, and that was reflected in our budget to an extent. That is now gone, and as a result, that item is gone. The total revenues are reduced, and total expenditures are reduced. As a overview, what we have done over the last few years in response to exactly what you folks are facing is that we have had to cut programs that we had previously been funding. The first that was cut was last year. We had a senior citizens program funded to the Regional Planning Commission, which we had to cut last year. We had a two-year demonstration grant with the Mental Health Board for perinatal depression in county residents. We had to let that lapse this year, so basically that was cut. And then the program that has been funded initially with startup money through your general fund and then carried on over the last several years in declining fashion from you and increasing fashion from our own budgetary resources is Smile Healthy. What we as a board did this year with that program was to make the decision that our carryover was critical to the future of our board, and we passed a balanced budget. The public health district request to us was about $55,000 or $50,000 less than our total revenue, and we assigned that to Smile Healthy, and that basically represents about a 50% reduction in their funding from us. And that is the only real outside program that we're funding any longer. We do not anticipate significant revenue increases. Deb has always found a percent or two in the property tax for us. But we don't expect major funding increases. We expect that we're probably going to be in this sort of a holding pattern for a bit. Our hands are tied with respect to the public health district in the way that the contract is written, and that basically they can pretty much call the tune on services, and we have to pay for them. And we have had a legal opinion from our contract attorney that appears to be the case. You did face this issue at one point when we sent a recommendation to you from our board to take a look at possibly withdrawing from that contract in a year's time. That the purpose of that was to allow us to gain greater negotiating strength with respect to the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District. That contract with them is up in about 2 years, and I think I can pretty much guarantee that language will not be in our recommended contract with them next time. We do not have all of the negotiating power that we really should have in terms of writing contracts with that entity. However, that having been said, They did respond, I believe, in a very reasonable fashion to our budgetary situation, and as a result, I think they made significant concessions that allowed us to write a balanced budget this year and at the same time do some continued funding of Smile Healthy. On the, there will be questions on the dental front, I'm sure, so I'd like to anticipate a couple of those. Community is stepping up to the plate on dental services. I have, I think in the past, opined with you folks that the funding model of Smile Healthy is not ideal, and that we're using general tax funds to induce dentists to provide services for kids, all of whom are eligible for Medicaid. But dentists will not work for Medicaid rates. They're about a quarter of private insurance. So Smile Healthy was able to induce them over the last 5 years to do services at about a 50% level of their general rates, and over time able to get a fairly good participation rate of county dentists. But that funding model is not ideal because it's using general operating funds or our general tax revenues to fund dental services. More appropriate from a funding point of view would be possibilities in the public health district itself, which can in fact capture Medicaid dollars and can run a program with some outside subsidy, but can run a pretty efficient program using Medicaid dollars. And now Francis Nelson, which is really the ideal location for dental services because they get paid three times the Medicaid rate for services. They're a federally qualified community health center. Community health centers are paid three times the Medicaid rate, basically to subsidize all the uninsured work that they do. Francis Nelson is working with United Way and Smile Healthy to develop a program there that will treat Medicaid or low-income adults. These are new initiatives over the past 6 months that we'll probably see come into fruition over the next year to attempt to at least address some of the shortfalls that we're going to have on the Smile Healthy program. Bobby, you have anything else to add?
Ask questions.
So, John, it's your contention that the programs that the county public health board is not able to continue to provide are being picked up elsewhere?
Only Smile Healthy and not... No, there will be a net reduction in dental services, at least in the short term.
So it's going to be a smaller Smile Healthy.
It'll be a smaller Smile Healthy.
They tell us that it will affect the surgeon services. Right now, when small children have very critical dental problems, they send them over to Decatur, I believe, for surgery, and they're going to have to cut that because that is, of course, probably about half of that budget.
Yes, John. What actions did the public health department take with the outbreak of egg and salmonella or lettuce that we've had in across the nation and perhaps even in this community?
It did not rise to the level of affecting our budgetary work. They did surveillance, I believe, but it wasn't a major expenditure on their part outside of their budgeted effort.
And is the department doing anything about the smoking ban and its effect on your department in particular, fines or monitoring or complaints?
Well, we do. We actually had a debate on whether we should continue smoking cessation work in our budget. We voted to continue smoking cessation work. As you might be aware, the public health district itself, and I guess by extension us and the county, are responsible for responding to complaints about smoking violations in public facilities. We did talk about that. We've had no formal complaints in the county, and there's only been, I believe, one in the city. So it has not been a major activity.
So really, the only formal complaints you've had has been on the chickens that we had in Champaign?
on the chicken.
You don't have to answer that.
Actually, aren't they all in Urbana?
Any other questions for John?
I move we receive and place on file.
Motion by Steve, seconded by Alan. Any discussion on that? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Anything else? All right, thank you both very much.
Thank you.
We have a few minutes before the next meeting. Let's see, do we have anything other than adjournment on here? We'll adjourn this one and wait for the next meeting.